In our small groups that have been gathering for the past couple of weeks, we've been asked the question, what's been bringing you joy? I have a couple things this morning. My cousins are here from over in Ohio, so I'm really glad to have some family here. And it is almost fall, and I love fall. We've been getting to have s'mores around the campfire. We've been getting to have some caramel-covered apples that my kids had never had before, so that was fun to watch them eat. And the big day arrives for so many people. The pumpkin spice latte comes back at Starbucks. There are so many different ways to order a drink at Starbucks. But I'm sure if you go to a coffee shop to have coffee or tea or whatever you might have, or a milkshake at an ice cream shop, you have a particular thing you like to order unless you're working your way through the menu. Your one or two go-tos that bring you satisfaction and a bit of a pick-me-up. Well, as I was working through our prayer study this week, I was thinking about how those baristas go to school to learn how to make all those drinks. And I was starting to read through a book called Creative Prayer. It's recommended in the bibliography at the back of Maxie Dunham's Living Prayer Workbook. And it was written in 1926 by a woman named Emily. And so I was fascinated by the parts I was reading. And it stuck out to me when she was writing that if we continue to be like a barista and learn how to make all those drinks, and we never actually get behind the counter to make a drink and serve it to somebody, we can look at prayer that way too. So if we continue to do all of the studying about prayer, learning all of these creative ways to pray, and we are not engaging in prayer as we're doing it, even if we don't feel perfect at it, we're missing the point. So my hope is that during this time that I'm so excited about this study because it has you engage in prayer every single day. Even if you aren't sure what works for you, you can still learn all the different ways and you're engaging in prayer. So hopefully you will figure out just like your favorite drink at the Starbucks or Roscoe's or wherever, you'll figure out what that type of prayer is for you, and you'll be able to go get it day after day and times throughout the day, and it will just come to you as easily as that drink choice does, and then it will give you that pick-me-up and satisfy you to be in communion with God during that time, and that you're not like the barista staying stuck at school not making those drinks. You're actually going to find that way to continue to go about your day. So we're doing an all-church study called the Workbook of Living Prayer, and some of you are coming to worship on Sundays and joining us online, and that's the time that you have right now, so I know that you're still going to get stuff out of it. Some of you are parts of small groups that are studying this, and some of you are able to take the workbook home and still work through it each and every day, even if you don't have the internet or a group that you want to come to. If you still need a book, we have plenty left, and I'd love to give you one after worship today, and so just come up and ask, and we don't want you to leave without one. So last week we talked about the adventure of prayer. Next week we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer, and today we are talking about the school of prayer, the whys and the how-tos and answering the questions about prayer. So let us start with some prayer. God, I pray in these next few moments that there be less and less of me and more of you. For you, O God, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Samuel Wesley was a devoted priest in the Church of England, in whose heart there burned a desire to see the church renewed and revived. One day he was studying and praying while his two small children, John and Charles, were playing in the stairway. Finally, he became so distracted by the noise that he rushed out of his study and cried out at them, saying, "Go play elsewhere. I am trying to pray for a great revival to come upon the church, and your noise is disturbing me." That was really nice, and I don't think I could have been that nice if I was frustrated. Little did Samuel know that the great awakening for which he was praying was running up and down his stairs. Prayer, silence, and reflection allow us to be able to see God breaking into this world. It means we get to see what others so easily miss, that this world, as it is deeply broken in ways that only God can and will and does restore. It also means we get to be witnesses and collaborators with the kingdom of God. We have to learn to listen to God through scripture and prayer. Maybe the problem isn't that the word of the Lord is rare and visions are not widespread. Maybe the problem is that people are having trouble hearing the word and seeing the vision because they don't know how to recognize it. It isn't the Lord who becomes absent. It is the people of the Lord who forget how to hear and to see. There are times when we all need to be awakened in the night by a clear voice or a clear vision. And we need to have not just the courage, but the commitment to respond with, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." There are spiritual disciplines or practices that open us up to being able to recognize the Lord's voice. John Wesley taught disciples about many of these at the beginning of Methodism. We get up and go to worship even when we don't feel like it, even when we don't like the message or who's preaching it. Even when something else looks more appealing, like our beds, sports, or other activities. We make sacrifices to the Lord. We give back a portion of what we have been given, our first fruits, an offering to God. We study the word, so we'll be able to recognize the Lord's voice when we hear it. We pray, not just when we're desperate, but every single day. We offer prayers when we rise in the morning, when we lie down at night. We give thanks and praise throughout the day for all of God's blessings in our lives. Prayer is something that we can have a lot of questions about, so let's look at a couple of them. How can I know God hears me when I pray? Sometimes it may not seem like we get an answer because it may not be what we expect, or the answer might be not yet. A big part of prayer is listening for God and what God may be saying to us and reflecting on those answers to prayer on a later date. When we pray, we can look to the Bible for how to pray. And of course, like I said, the ultimate example of the Lord's Prayer we'll be getting into next week. In Philippians 4:6, it tells us to pray with thanksgiving. In James 5:16, to pray for one another. And in Romans 8:26, we are comforted in knowing that when we do not know how to pray, God's Spirit intercedes for us. Prayers can be simple, sincere, and selfless. Do I always have to be so wordy in my prayers and use all the proper language? Absolutely not. God wants to be in relationship with you. Jesus wants to have a conversation with you. It doesn't have to be so formal. Whatever way you are most comfortable that can honor God and help you to listen best. Do I always have to fold my hands, shut my eyes, or kneel beside my bed when I pray? Not at all. Sometimes closing your eyes or praying in different postures can help you shut out the things that are going on around you and focus on God. The important thing when you pray is not what you do with your body, but what you do with your thoughts. I like to pray with my eyes open sometimes because I like to see who I am praying for, because I'm a very visual person and it helps me with my prayers. We have had wonderful artwork on our bulletins during the series. That is from a book called At Psalm School. It's one we gave to all the families in place of Vacation Bible School this summer. And in that book, it taught the children and families all of these different prayer postures and ways to pray. Perhaps the most important thing that Jesus taught us about praying was by example. When he would go away from the place where he was or leave the moment that he was in to find a place to be in solitude for time with God. Looking to Jesus for how to pray went way beyond what words to say and when and how to say them. Jesus taught his followers how to live. Jesus' followers are to stay focused on God. Jesus didn't just talk the walk, he walked the walk. He modeled prayer for others. Our book says that it was not what Jesus said that caused the disciples to ask him to teach them to pray. It was the way in which they saw him praying. When we are alone with God, we learn more about ourselves and can be more honest with ourselves and others. Silence and meditation are part of the natural discipline of the healthy soul bent upon communion with God. They are as simple as daylight and as sensible as reason itself. In a world with so much noise, we don't have to begin silence in a special time. We can begin in our office, our homes, out and about in our lives, and in the church. We can practice being silent in all of the ordinary times. When we know how to be silent in the ordinary times, we will more readily master the art of spiritual quiet and recollection. One of the simple ways I was reminded of some silence this week was a diaconal world conference I went to up in Chicago. And we usually have guidelines for small groups, but in all my years of working with small groups, and I love working and designing small group materials, I had never came across this suggestion or guideline. It said after everyone is done speaking, instead of responding quickly like we so always do, to leave a moment for reflection and silence, and then respond. So we weren't thinking of the next thing we wanted to say. What if instead of listing all of our prayers in a row, we took some time in between to hear if God was speaking back to us? That's a way we could practice some silence in our everyday lives and our conversation with others. The object of prayer is not merely to find expression for one's deepest yearnings, but to converse with another, to hear the divine call, and to feel the divine response to the movement of the soul. Be still and know that I am God. We come to God regularly, not to rattle off long prayers, but to spend time in reflection, simply to be alone with God and to gain perspective for living. Prayer is not the whole of the spiritual life, or even taken by itself, the most important factor in it. Effective prayer involves a constant interaction between the quality of soul we bring to our prayers and the sincerity of our desire. For example, to pray to be made wise is the merest superstition unless we bring to our prayer the kind of soul that is capable or willing to acquire wisdom. For every thought that we give to prayer itself, we should give 10 thoughts to the life behind the prayer. For every swing of the golf club to make the hole in one, or for every shot of the basketball towards the basket to make the free throw or the three-point shot, multiple practice shots have had to be taken. In the normal course of our spiritual growth, there comes a time when the center of prayer shifts from self to God. So if you are praying prayers of requests and you're bringing yourself to God, that is totally okay. And the more you practice that, eventually you will find that it is about coming to the Lord and about God. The true motive will now be to get nearer to God, to know God better, to enter more fully into God's thoughts and purposes. God-conscious prayer involves honest thinking and a firm resolution to bring all our problems to the searchlight of God's truth and to submit all our work to the touchstone of God's interests and intentions. Where might you find hope this week? What are you going to learn? Where will you be challenged? The book says that too often we add more limits to prayer than God does. God's answers to prayer are always better than our asking, and God is always more ready to hear than we are to pray. What I hope you take away this week is solitude with God and the importance of that silence. Because I so believe that when we take a moment from the busyness of our lives to step away, we move a bit closer towards that Christian perfection, to co-creating with God. God is still creating. Things are still evolving and changing. We can see that as we move into fall. We can reflect and see where God is wanting us to grow and change, where God is calling us to next, or how God is calling us in a different way. And then it's important to take your reflections and share them with someone. Somebody who can help hold you accountable. Is that really what God said? Or is that what you wanted to hear? Or that's great, God has poured that into your life. Let's see what you're going to do with it. And I'll help make sure that you're still doing that a week or a month or a year from now. There is so much to take away. And so I hope you'll share what joys have been brought this week to you and what you will take away in the comments below or with me after the service. So as we turn now to a time of offering ourselves to God, we take some time to reflect on questions that will be on the screen. Are you ready to be alone with God? To not just speak, but to listen as a part of your prayer life? Are you ready for God to answer? My prayer is that you realize that God is at work in you, through you, and in ways that you can't even imagine. That God is answering your prayers in an awesome way. I pray that finding time to sit with Jesus in conversation will come easily for you in your busy schedule. And I pray that it will become easier for you to hear God speaking into your life, and for you to recognize the ways in which God has answered your prayers. May all of this be so. Amen.